going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yes, it is a Fransky Friday. We're going to check in with Scott in just a few minutes after he gets done chatting with Rob Thompson out at Wrigley Field as the Phils and the Cubs play today at 2:20. Phillies walk into a potential buzzsaw. The Cubs have been red hot. We'll get to a leading off in about an hour. And, of course, Scott will join us in a few minutes. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Like it, love it. Where do you come down on Jahad Campbell as the Eagles' first-round pick? Hugh, it's funny how the more you think about something, your perspective could shift a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought last night was, I'm surprised that it's an off-ball linebacker, right?
Mm-hmm.
The more I really got into looking at what he did, can do, hearing Howie, I went from, like, I liked the pick last night. I think we all liked it. He seemed like a really versatile, intelligent, good player.
Mm-hmm.
But the more I watched him when I got home, I moved to loving it. Like, he looks like he could be a star player if Vic can help him reach a ceiling and he stays healthy.
Yeah, and I think that part of the reason why they're not concerned about his overall health is because of what I talked about weeks ago, Joe, when we talked about how they're ahead of the curve as far as nutrition and taking care of their players and things like the small things, the simple things. And they pride themselves on that, because when you heard Howie speak about this player, he said he's not worried about
right
his injury, his history, because we are going to, you know, we've talked to our doctors and they feel real strong about his career being a long career. So you look at that and you look at the way that they train and all the stuff that they do, the analytics that they pour into training. They feel real confident that they're going to get the most out of this young guy.
You know, and the other thing with that is this is an advantage of having stability. It's an advantage of being a good team, of having Howie. You know, Hugh, if Howie was on thin ice, right? Let's play a scenario. If the Eagles were one of those teams that were teetering and Howie was on thin ice, I don't know if they'd make the pick, right? Like, if I'm a GM and I have to win this year, if I make a bad pick, or you know, the guy gets hurt, I might lose my job. Like, there's something about, they could take a risk on this. They could take a player that maybe he's not ready in training camp. I mean, maybe he doesn't make an impact this season until October, and it's okay because they have a tremendous roster anyway. Like, it's an advantage that they don't have to worry about September. They're thinking long term, not just short term. We watch these teams. I mean, some teams think about, like, if I don't win in September, I'm going to lose my job.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that when we talk about all these other teams, like we were talking about the Giants and the fact that they got Jackson Dart last night. Not worried about that. Because it's a good chance that whatever the Giants do, that brain trust is not going to be there at the end of the year if they don't perform and produce. So it's something to be said about being in a position where you don't draft for need, you draft the best player available, like Howie said, and you integrate him into your team, kind of like what they did to Cooper DeJean last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw what that was like when you got him out there on the field and how this defense took off. So when you talk about having somebody that has the ability to play off the ball and the ability to rush the passer, to me, it's kind of the same thing as what Cooper DeJean brought to the table when he was out there on the defense.
Well, and having multiple really versatile players, like Vic Fangio must just be like, this is the best. Like, I can create something every week that's just a disaster for opponents because I got these two guys here. Ken and Cinnaminson is up on WIP. Hey, Ken. Ken? Ken go once. Ken going twice.
Cannot.
He is sold to, just back on the board here. Fabian is up on WIP. Hey, Fabian.
Hey there, before I get into my point, Hugh, have you watched Ashton Jalot, the defensive end, yet?
I have not, but I could check him out now. I got the little things pulled up. I'll check him out. Ashton Jalot.
Let me tell you, you need to, because he's giving me some serious Brandon Graham vibes. I think he's a top five defensive end in this draft, and he's probably going to be available at 64. But to go into my main point, Jihad Campbell. Mm-hmm. Why I love it, why I'm concerned, where I'm going to fall in the middle.
Okay.
I love it because last year I spent countless hours watching linebacker prospects because I was obviously worried about the Eagles' linebacker room before I knew what we had in Zach Bond. And none of these guys hold a candle to Jihad Campbell. In fact, I would say Jihad Campbell would be the best linebacker prospect in most NFL drafts. I also love it because it shows a growth mindset with Howie. It's not just defensive end obsession. Obviously, part of his calculation for taking this guy is he can help with the pass rush and pass coverage in multiple ways. But I don't think this is a pick Howie would have made before Vic Fangio's arrival. So I like the growth from Howie. The back seven was a bit of a weakness with him in general over his tenure, and he's showing growth.
Well, Fabian, I agree with that. There is that you could clearly tell he's evolved. I mean, 2 years ago, the idea of them paying a running back twice, paying a linebacker, drafting one in the first round would have been laughable. And that's
absolutely.
Now we're here. Yep.
I forgot Jihad Campbell was even on the board at our pick. I'm like, it was out of my mind that a line, number one, that he would fall that far. And number two, that Howie would take him. But it's wonderful. Now, here's the drawback. There is zero chance that this is just a labrum because a prospect like this does not fall to the end of the first round, even if he's a linebacker, if it's just a labrum. There must be more going on.
I think you're right. I mean, we played a clip earlier, and Fabian, good phone call. We appreciate you. Adam Schefter also threw in the knee, which that one, it's one thing we know he had shoulder surgery, but the knee, you know, that's separate. So we'll see. I mean, I think he's right, and I think if there was no injury concern, he's probably a top 15 pick. But he fell to 31, and the Eagles grabbed him. All right, before we go any further with our conversation about the Eagles' first-round pick, what they do tonight, here we got a baseball team we need to talk about. And joining us right now, as he does every Friday, is Scott Fransky, brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Big task for Scott today. He's going to have to make us feel better about the Phillies. What's up, Scott?
Yeah.
Do I have a chance?
Maybe.
Yeah, we do. You always got a chance with me. I don't know about Kyle, because
Kyle's tough to sway. Huh?
Yeah. But speaking of that, and I know it's early, and I try to tell Kyle that every day, but I'm checking your temperature. How long do we have to deal with this little bit of valley that we're in before we get out of this, in your opinion?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think it'll start turning around now. I mean, I saw a team that, you know, looked like they're lacking confidence head-to-head against the Mets right now. Mm. And Mets were playing with a lot of confidence right now. And, you know, just felt like every deficit felt like a pretty big hill to climb. Maybe that's partly the fan in me, right? Yeah. Maybe the guys aren't feeling that really at all. I mean, I think if you talk to them, to a man, they say everything publicly that, you know, that you would want to hear. That is, they understand the peaks and valleys and what a long season it is. And they saw it in the other direction last year, of course, right? Things are going great. It was all wine and roses there till about mid-June. And then, you know, you start to find your struggles. So I do think I would expect them to play a little bit better. Now, this pitching staff is nowhere near as talented as the Mets pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
So you would kind of expect a little more action offensively. Although it's cold and the wind's blowing in today, so today might not be the day for it.
Mm. All right, Scott, let's talk about the offense, because I think It depends on how you want to look at it, how you perceive moving forward, what, how they're going to do. Because if you just look at their on-base percentage, their walks, times on base, they've improved, right? They're chasing less. All those things we asked for. But they're also slugging less, and they're not hitting with runners in scoring position. So although they've done some things, like the process has been good, they're not scoring enough runs. Scott, how do you view the offense? Do you think, hey, they got the right process, the runs will come, or it doesn't look right, and they need to slug more to keep up here with these other teams?
Well, I do think the slug could come and go a little bit, and there's no question they would slug. There's no question in my mind that they will slug more as you get, you know, deeper into the summer. I mean, this is a team with a lot of pop and guys who can do that. But they haven't yet. And there's a variety of reasons why. Obviously, every player is individual. I do think that if they, again, we all feel like reaching base on a regular basis more and more often is a good thing. And that's what they're doing. Like you said, we asked them to change their approach a little bit, chase less, and that's a good thing. I think over the long haul that will play out to their benefit. It will lead to runs being scored, and the slug will come, but I do think that controlling the strike zone, you know, fewer strikeouts, more walks is always a good thing for your offense.
Scott Fransky with us here as the Phillies get ready for a series in Chicago against the Cubs here. All right, Scott, let's talk about the bullpen, which has been an issue for the entire season. Now, they've gotten the two lefties have been good. I mean, Alvarado's been really good. Strom has delivered for them. It's the right-handed guys that have struggled here, and it feels like Topper's trying to mix them and put them in different spots, but nothing has stunk. I mean, I guess we could talk about Romano specifically, because the last couple of times he's pitched, he has spoken afterwards about feeling better about his stuff.
Feeling good about his stuff. It's just people were hit.
Yeah, it's getting hit around. That's my issue with it. What do you think about what you're seeing there?
Well, keep in mind, I mean, you know, go back like, you know, Pete Alonso the other day. That's a bad pitch. You know, his stuff, his good stuff got him in a position where he was up in the count 0-2 on Alonso. He just made a bad pitch. Is that a repeatability, consistency, you know, ability sort of thing? Or is that he's going to get better with that as the season goes on? You know, he's been out. He was out for almost a year. I mean, he basically didn't pitch last year. So I think we could expect that there would be some growing pains. And I think he's already dealt with a few different issues, right? Little mechanical tweak, that the velocity is there now, and it's a consistent velocity. That's important for him. And I think, you know, working on a few other things, you know, whether he might have been tipping pitches last weekend and, you know, against Miami, I think that's a definite possibility. I think we'd know more better if they see the Marlins again. You know what I mean? But it felt like they had something on him. The same thing with Kirkering. I think, you know, the night before against Torrens, the catcher, it was just a bad 0-2 pitch. It's poor execution in that spot. And, I think the stuff is there, but they're going to have to prove that they can throw it better consistently. And they can't make those pitches 0-2. It's just that those are just crushers, right? You get a guy down in the count like that, you can't lose that battle. I know you lose every now and then, but it's happening way too often. And there's no question, if they don't figure it out, it's going to be tough on that bullpen. It will be tough if they can't get those two right-handers who they expect to be seventh, eighth, ninth inning type guys. Those two you mentioned specifically, Kirkering and Romano, they have to figure that out.
Yeah, they do. And right now there's not, you know, much help on the way. It's still only April for the trade market, or even if they wanted to bring someone up. So those guys got to produce. All right, Scott, let's end with the series that starts this afternoon out at Wrigley Field. And that Cubs team, I thought they were intriguing before the season. I wasn't sure how good they'd be. They might have been better than I thought. They're 16-10. They've been red hot, and they're scoring like 6 runs a game. What do you think about this this Cubs team in this series this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna need to do what you can. Yeah, pitching wise, I mean, their bullpen has problems. There's no doubt about it. They have not been a very good bullpen. They're right there with, you know, basically with the Phillies in terms of some of those numbers. They're kind of piecing the starters together right now a little bit. But they can hit, and they're hot right now. So we'll see. You know, Taiwan will be on the mound today. There's obviously a little bit of concern there with what happened to him his last time out, getting tight. I can't say Christopher Sanchez. They said this morning he felt normal. He was going to throw. In fact, that might be starting here in about 15 minutes. He was just going to play catch and see how it goes. But they're hopeful that maybe they dodged a bullet there. But, yeah, you're going to have to pitch well, slow these guys down offensively, and you're going to need to score some runs. So we'll see if they can do that.
We shall. Good. That's good news on Sanchez. Hopefully he comes out of that and throwing and feeling well. Scott, we appreciate it. Enjoy Chicago and Wrigley, and we'll be listening
this
afternoon.
Get you some deep dish pizza, man. Get you some deep dish pizza.
Deep dish right across from the hotel. We'll be there.
All right, there it is.
I'll meet you there.
I wish. I'm on a diet. It's shredding season, Scott. I can't, you know.
You got to make an exception for deep dish.
I can't,
no?
I can't. I'm too.
All right, I'll meet you there, Scott. It sounds great. Thank you, Scott.
Good.
We'll talk to you next week. There he goes. Scott Fransky out in Chicago with the Phillies.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Yeah, that's this series starts today at 2:20. We'll have leading off for you in about an hour, but Cubs team scoring about 6 runs a game, so I need a Taiwan prediction for you in about an hour.
I don't feel like
I
can't do it. It's not, you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
We need this. We dropped 4 straight.
I'm aware.
It's just a prediction.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't like it when you say it like that, Kyle, because it's like it's almost like a setup.
We just want to know what you think. I mean, you've nailed these. You don't be nervous. I know why you're nervous, because you're about to say something
that
bad.
I don't. If you ask me to answer right now, I'm telling you, would not.
Okay. Well, you have an hour to think about it, all right? We'll ask you at some point soon here. 215-592-9494. You're going to ruin that guy's ERA today. I could tell. You're going to ruin his season today.
Don't feel good, John.
No. All right, well, you know what feels good?
Not on a Friday.
It feels good that the Eagles got a good player in the first round. Ken and Cinnaminson talking about Jahai Campbell. Hey, Ken.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Can you hear me now?
Got you.
Hey,
yes, Ken.
Up,
we got you.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It was great to see you guys last night. You loved the shirt.
So, thanks,
that shirt,
Ken.
Got a lot of play last night.
Cowboy Jim, as if it's not already self-evident that you know nothing about football when you're a Cowboys fan, further proves he knows literally nothing about football when he says nobody knew who Jahai Campbell was.
Right.
Well, nobody in Cowboy Jim's house knew who Jahai Campbell was, but everybody else who actually watches football knows who Jahai Campbell was. They got the best defensive player in the draft last night, and I couldn't believe their good fortune that happened. And that includes Abdul Carter. Jahai Campbell, it was the best defensive player in the draft. You watch that guy play football, he was the best player on the field every Saturday, and that's in the SEC. So, and look, he's not going to play linebacker the way we think of linebacker. So I like Hugh's comp of Lawrence Taylor. My initial comp, just maybe it was because of the Alabama Crimson, but I thought Derek Thomas when I watched him play.
That's a good one, too.
Physically similar, really fast, really fast. And, you know, this guy changes the complexion of your defense when he steps on the field. And I don't really think it is connected at all to N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean and this guy are two different breeds of cat, and they do two different things on the field, two different sets of skills. So I couldn't have been happier when they picked him. And I expect that Howie's going to be aggressive today in the second round, just like he was last year in the second round, because there's some really good football players left there on the second round. If Shedeur Sanders doesn't get picked by at least by the 40th pick, and if he's still there at 40 and the Saints don't pick him, he's going to be there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be there for a long
time. Ken, before you called in, I saw something, I think it was NFL Network, I saw Tom Pelissero say that it's kind of like what you're saying. If he's not picked in the early part of this round, you know, the Saints, the team, Browns, like the teams that need a quarterback, the Steelers could get him in the third round. He could fall all the way to the end of the third round.
Yeah, he's and you know, I just think that the reasons are obvious. And it's not just the package on the field. It's the package that goes with it. So, you know, I think if Emin Wari is still there around 40, I would expect to see Howie try and move up to get him. Otherwise, I do think that you could get Xavier Watts at 64. And I am on Harold Fannin Jr. watch today, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I am waiting for it. I am looking for it. I want it to happen so bad. This guy would be an immediate fan favorite. He puts on Midnight Green.
And the connection's there with his coach. The Bowling Green coach is here. Ken, we appreciate the phone call. 215-592-9494. What Ken said, I did see you on NFL Network, that if Shadur is not picked early in the second round, because this is where the teams still need a quarterback. Saints didn't get one, right? Browns didn't get one.
Yeah.
That tumble might go into the third round.
Yeah, because we're talking about – that's what we were basically chopping up this morning. We weren't talking about the second round. I was more focused on the opportunity to be a starter this year. Now, this is where it gets a little, you know, dicey for him. With his bravado and his demeanor, which I personally don't have a problem with, how is a team going to look at that with him potentially being a backup quarterback on the squad?
Well, because generally backup quarterbacks have to have – they can't be an alpha, right?
Like there you go. That's a good way of saying it. He's an alpha.
Yeah, and
he's an alpha.
Now, sometimes backup will take someone's job. Like, Jalen was kind of an alpha. Now, he didn't – I thought he just was better than Carson. But, like, you could tell he was coming for the job, right? He was a second-round pick.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean – I think if Shadur moves into the third round, it goes beyond just his film, and it goes to, do people want the headache with an okay player?
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that that's the way it's going to be described, because it's not a headache. It's just that he has...
Well, they perceive it as a headache.
Well, because he has a larger-than-life personality.
Well, and then do you have to deal with Dad?
Yeah.
Like, is he trying to get himself involved in stuff?
Yeah, and, like, say if he goes to Cleveland. Like, let's be honest, Shadur is the hottest thing in Cleveland outside of Miles on that side of the ball.
Of course.
And he's going to be the talk of the town. He's going to get more burn than the starter or whoever the starter.
Like, Kenny,
you know,
Pickett.
Yeah, Kenny Two-Glove.
Yeah.
He's going to get more burn than that.
Fans are going to want him to play, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where teams probably looking at that. And if they're not going to put him in a situation where he can – legit have an opportunity to start, that might be a problem.
All right, I'm going to ask you a hypothetical. Just hypothetical. Mm-mm,
I know what you're about to do.
Well, at some point, every player has value. Hold on, I'm just asking a hypothetical.
Okay, I'm listening.
At some point, every player has value, right? Like, if there's a player you don't love, but he's a first-rounder, quote-unquote, and then he falls to the seventh round, that player has value. Is there a point, if you're Howie Roseman, where you would take Shadur Sanders? I'll start. I would not take him in the second round. Like, I would take Milroe.
Okay,
I don't think that much of Shadur. But if we get to the last pick in the third round, would you take him? I mean, he was obviously a good college quarterback.
Okay, what pick are we talking about?
The last pick of the third round. 96. 96.
We're on the radio.
96.
Wow. Because he's asking me a question. See, we didn't talk about this
96.
In the meeting. We didn't talk about this.
96.
Would I take Shadur?
Last pick tonight, third round.
There's a lot that goes with that, Joe.
It's a yes or a no.
You. Yeah, I'll take you. I'm trying to think. Like, because here's the thing, and this is where, you know, I have a take. I gave you my take.
I know.
But now I have to defend what I'm saying. Is, you know what that comes with. Even here, even though we know what we know, there's still going to be some people that are going to, hey, well, put him out there and see what's going on. I feel like Jalen's cool. Jalen, like, I'm not worried about Jalen. It's just that everybody, you people, it's going to be the you people. It's going to be some people out there that might want him to get a shot to play.
Kyle, last pick of the third round.
No.
I don't think I could draft him.
I'm not touching him with a 10-foot pole.
I just don't think I could draft him at all.
See, because you are thinking about what I'm thinking about, but.
Yeah, as annoying as Dad.
But it's the same to me.
And I don't think he's that good.
Right.
It's the same to me as taking a Jalen Milroe in a sense.
Oh, I totally disagree.
But at least Milroe has like a special trait.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Like, his speed.
He has, I think Shadur can be groomed to be a good quarterback, but all the other stuff that potentially comes along with it. See, this is the problem. If he goes in the second round, there's a chance, like we talked about this morning, that he'll get a chance to play.
Sure. That's still a relatively high pick.
If he's a third pick, if he goes in the third round, I should say,
the fact that he's not going to play might be a problem because of his bravado or how he feels, because he's even said that this should have never happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it happened.
I think it's a lot different than the Milroe thing. I mean, there will be the baggage no matter what of taking a quarterback, and you know how this town is and these fans are, but like, you can multiply that by 10 times when clown Deion Sanders is here and he's talking about my son's better than Jalen Hurts.
And I don't think there's much upside to Shadur. Right. At least Milroe has...
Milroe is good.
Yeah.
Right.
And Milroe and Jalen Hurts have a relationship. See, there's something there.
I don't think Deion would do that. You know what? Because last night, I think... No, listen, because this is where...
Are we talking about the same guy?
Yes, yes. Because you have to read the body language, man. And there was a cut. I was watching some of the clips. And Deion, there was a cut where Shadur sat up there and he talked about how this was a travesty and all this other stuff. But, you know, he gave grace to God and all this other stuff. And he said, tomorrow, we're going to be happy regardless. Mm. And Deion had I saw a video where he had his hand over his mouth, because I think he understands what this means. And if he doesn't go to the Cleveland Browns with that second pick, there's a good chance, man, that he's probably gonna sit for a while.
I think if there's one thing that the Sanders will never eat is humble pie.
that's not
that. But I think that in this situation you're probably gonna have to. So now I know that they probably think that there's a lot at play in this.
Sure,
but you might have to knock yourself down a few pegs and build yourself back up.
They might, and we'll see. We'll see tonight. 215-592-9494. We'll get more on what the Eagles' rivals did last night coming up. Plus, we are giving away, we got a gift card for you here, a Sunoco gift card. You know what? Let's give this away right now, $100 gift card to Sunoco. How about we give it to caller number 4, 215-988-1258. Caller number 4, 215-988-1258. You win a $100 gift card to Sunoco right now. Your phone calls on the other side on the Eagles, the draft pick last night at Jihad Campbell, and of course looking forward to tonight and what the rivals did in the first round on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we react to the pick of Jihad Campbell in the first round for the Eagles, I love it. The more that I thought about it as last night ended, this morning started, and thinking about how the Eagles could use this player, I love the pick of Jihad Campbell out of Alabama. It's one of those picks, I think we were a little bit surprised last night because we saw a linebacker next to his name, but then as you listen to how they're going to use him, what he did in college, how he started off, they got a player here that is versatile, and I wouldn't be surprised as the years go on that they get a lot out of him in the pass rush.
Yeah,
he could do it.
I think so. I would not be surprised if, you know, he comes out there and he's one of the key pieces to their pass rush when he is healthy. I think that you have a bunch of guys out here that, you know, you're going to have a pass rush by committee, and it worked well for him last year. Mm-hmm. It really, really did, because you didn't know where the pass rush was coming from. Saw Jalen Hunt have a big game in the Super Bowl. Nolan Smith. So I don't have a problem with it just not being one guy, but a bunch of guys.
So I think if the Eagles had made the same pick 5 years ago, I don't think I would have liked it as much, because I wouldn't have been sure they would have known how to get the most out of this kind of player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Vic Fangio factor does make me feel confident. You know, Kyle, back in the day when they had Jim Schwartz, or just before Fangio, it was even Gannon. I think my take would have been, all right, he could maybe do both, but will they get the most out of him? I feel like Fangio can do it.
Yeah, I mean, this is his specialty. His linebacker is sort of like the back seven, as opposed to like the front seven, the front four.
So we got Coach Hurt up there.
Coach Nonek.
Yeah. Coach Nonek.
He's leaving it to Coach Nonek. But like, Fangio's known for, I think, getting the most out of linebackers, mm-hmm, and secondary players. And I mean, we saw that last season. The defensive line was not the strongest unit on the defense, like, by any stretch. They were aided tremendously by the fact that the secondary was so good and that they were able to cover or stay in coverage for so long. That helped guys get home and eventually led to a lot of sacks.
Well, think about their top picks since Fangio got here. Quinyon, Cooper, and now, you know, a versatile linebacker, right? They've gone away from their old ways, which is just the down lineman, the trenches, and they're getting players that could affect the game in different ways. And I trust Fangio to get a lot out of this player. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines, and then we'll react to what happened within the division last night, which included a guard to the Cowboys, the Giants getting two players, including a quarterback, and an interesting pick for the Commanders last night right in front of the Eagles. Andy in Westchester. Hey, Andy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Andy. What's up?
Nothing. I love the pick. Love it, love it, love it. It was, I think it was Fabian earlier said, I almost forgot he was there when they got to him. And then they traded up, which was weird to me at first, that they traded only one pick, and then heard Howie explain it that, you know, they're just trying to block anyone else from getting there. But my buddy and I were texting back and forth about it. Actually, you're a terrible influence. We were
What'd you do now?
What'd I do?
$2 bets on who was going to pick whom.
Oh, the $2 bets is parlay.
Yeah. There was a $2 Venmos flying back and forth all night.
You know, that is a way to make the draft more interesting. $2 on the next name that goes.
I mean, and then you keep the cost low.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not like you're using a whole bunch of money.
But you get on a run, you might end up with a $10 bill, Andy.
Yeah, you might be.
Well, Eight Leg Hugh has become one of my favorites for next year. Spider Douglas, I call him.
Spider Douglas.
But anyway, yeah, I think it's, I'd forgotten about or didn't even know about the knee injury either, but he's young, and the surgeries are so good now that I'm not worried at all about him recovering. I think he's got such good upside, and yes, I knew who he was before the draft as well. I don't know what Jim,
I know, he's
about.
Crazy. So every mock draft, I think one of our mock drafts for the Daily Mock, he slipped to the Eagles and we talked about it. But most of them, Andy, that we found, he was gone. Like, he was somewhere in the teens, right? So he was in every one of these mock drafts. Just most of them, he didn't fall down to the Eagles.
Yeah, and on top of that, it just made it even better because you can count on the Cowboys to do Cowboy things and drafting a guard. I don't know. It just seems like they're fun to watch at this point.
Well, they are, yeah. And even if they make a good pick, the value might not be there. Andy, we appreciate the phone call. So Andy brought up the knee issue. Can we hear from Adam Schefter again? Because while I like the pick a lot, I love the pick. I think he'd be a great player. I think we have to pay attention to this injury stuff. There's a reason he fell. And I thought both Jihad last night and Howie were very vague about when is he going to get on the field.
Like, yeah.
No one said he'll be ready in 6 weeks. No one said training camp. They're just like, well, taking it day by day. Listen to Adam Schefter last night, because it seems like there's multiple things here. Hugh, he had shoulder surgery. He ran at the combine, but I don't think he did anything besides that because he couldn't, you know, lift it.
Because he couldn't lift anything.
Right, but if that was it, I think that'd be one thing. It seems like there's more medical stuff with him. Let's hear Schefter last night when the pick was made.
Well, the Eagles tried trading up earlier in the draft to go get Jihad Campbell, and the trade fell through, but they were able to persevere and trade up one spot. A lot of people might ask, why would you trade up one spot? Well, I think it's to block another team from potentially coming up, especially when it only costs you a fifth-round draft pick and you've got 20 picks in the next two rounds to use as ammunition. And now they get a player who, as Mel mentioned, could have gone from 12 to 15. He did have surgery on one of his shoulders. He's going to need surgery on another shoulder potentially after this season. He's got a knee issue as well, but the talent is undeniable, Greeny.
All right, so that he threw that knee thing in there at the end that I don't think anyone knew about. So he has a knee issue. He may need surgery on his other shoulder,
yeah,
and he had surgery
on one.
Out,
yeah. But if they feel confident in the fact that he can give them something, you know, I mean, you know what? That kind of changes for me. If you, going into a season knowing that you're going to need a surgery after the season is kind of interesting.
What do you think that means?
Like, I don't know. And when he said it, I just thought about it. I'm like, okay, how do you be a productive player in this season if you're not prepared for this season? I don't know. Maybe I doubt that this happens, but just to throw it out there, I don't think you're going to get a player to give him another surgery to get him ready to play next year. I don't think that's going to be the case.
Do you think it's something where, like, they obviously they do x-rays, right? They do medicals. They
say that at some point you're going to need surgery.
There's,
but
like, a small labrum tear, but it's fine now, but eventually we're going to have to repair that thing. I'm just trying to guess.
I don't know. I think that's a weird thing to say.
It is.
It's a weird thing to say.
They haven't played a game yet. He will need surgery after the season.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to say. I don't know. I don't know. Because I can't fathom the Eagles drafting a player that you're going to play in 2026.
Well, so I would be surprised if he doesn't play at all
next
year.
With the first pick?
Well, when you saw that pick last night, did you think that was a pick specifically for next year, or was it long-term? I think it's more of a long-term
bet. I think that when you talk about it, And we're playing semantics, but now that I'm thinking about the conversation, you do have a valid point. I was thinking immediate impact, you know, because I envision him being, and I'm pretty sure everybody else did, I envision him playing this year at some point. Maybe not at the beginning of the year, because the talk was, he's not going to be ready for training camp. Okay, that's cool, you know. But will he be ready? I'm thinking he'll be ready for maybe the third game or the second game
or
something like that.
Well, let's use the Cooper DeGene example.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Cooper missed a lot of camp, and then by the fifth game, he was back in.
Yeah, so I was thinking something more along those lines, but I thought that there was going to be a chance that we could see him. When Adam said, see, here's the thing. Like, a lot of times people say stuff because they like to talk and, you know, just, you know, give you insight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't see the Eagles drafting somebody with the first pick that's not going to pay them immediate dividends. And what I mean by that, you know, we're talking about he might not be at training camp, but I don't think he's going to sit a whole season.
Well, and their doctors may view him differently than other doctors. I mean, there may have been some teams that said, uh-oh, this kid's a, you know, he's got issues here. He's going to need surgeries. He's not going to last. Maybe the Eagles doctors say, no, I think it's okay, right? We don't. What he's hearing from one team might not be what the Eagles think. I mean, they're the ones that traded up to get him.
Yeah.
But it is notable. I just feel like it was left out of the conversation a lot last night. That they're like, hey, where is he physically? Neither Howie nor the kid himself really wanted to talk about when he's going to play. We'll find out. I mean, Kyle, the Eagles have had hits and misses with this. I mean, the Landon Dickerson thing, I remember I sat here that night and was like, man, he's a big man with knee issues, and he's been very durable.
And then there was the Sidney Jones.
Which is the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, also... kind of N'Kobe Dean.
Yes.
Right?
But so that's interesting because he has been banged up a lot, but he's also been good when he plays. You could look at it both ways.
But and that's why it's kind of interesting that he's coming in sort of in that role, N'Kobe Dean's role. Like, he's going to eventually, I think at least, this signifies the beginning of the end of N'Kobe Dean as an Eagle. But it's interesting that clearly they don't have the same reservations that we do or that a lot of other people did because they... I mean, look, not only did they take him in the first round, but they moved up a spot to get him.
So, and reportedly tried to go up even further to get him.
Right. So I guess they're not really as worried about it as some of us. It's just interesting, though, that he, with those issues, is going to be the guy to eventually, I think, replace N'Kobe Dean.
I know. It's like they're doing it again, just with a higher upside player. I would like to hear at some point soon someone with them or him say when he'll be cleared, right? And then I could just go off of that, right? If they tell me he'll be cleared in August or the middle of August, a timeline would make me feel...
Yeah, you want some, especially when you have so many vague reports out there. I mean, let's just be real. That report from Adam Schefter is not something that Eagles fans want to hear today.
Well, because everyone's excited for the player.
Yeah, and they're excited to see him this year.
Right.
And see him in this defense this year, especially coming off of a Super Bowl.
Let me ask you this about him becoming a pass rusher. How long do you think it takes to learn the nuance of doing that? Like, he's got physical tools. He could run pass or through. Like the nuance of pass rushing. Is that something he can learn over a training camp, or is that it's going to build over years?
I think that initially, with his ability to play off the ball, he could probably rush from a two-point. He can rush from a three-point. I think his speed is going to be the thing that's going to make it easier for him to pass rush, because I would think as a lineman that your biggest thing is when you see a guy with that kind of speed, and I see this with Nolan, is that you got to make sure you have a good get off, and you have to try to beat him to the point. So with his power and his size, there'll be times where the easiest thing to do would turn that from a speed to power rush. And what I mean by that is start up the field, run, like take that hard first step up the field. And when you see that tackle kicking, there's a good chance you catch him off balance and just run him over.
Like Nolan does.
Yeah, yeah. So there's that, because you got some guys that come off the corner, they get off the ball, and he looks like one of those guys. So that's not going to be that hard. You're talking about most guys that when they get caught in that hand wrestling where you have to keep the hands off of you. And get to an edge or do a push and pull move and do things like that. I don't think he's going to have to do that, because I think initially his burst is going to cause tackles to have fits.
Let's talk to Spike and Bristol, and then we'll talk about what happened in the NFC East along with the Eagles last night. Spike, how you doing? Spike?
Hmm.
Okay, put her back on hold. Let's grab Tom in Middletown.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, listen, I was so excited about calling in today because I'm happy with the pick and, like, happy that you stayed awake. And
we all are. Yeah, we're all happy.
But listen, Kyle, I don't know for what reason he hit me below the belt on the pre-call.
What did he say? Like, what did he do to you?
I am upset. Listen, let me frame this for you. I told him I'm calling in to give Hugh props that he stayed awake because I tapped out early. I'm watching the draft upstairs in bed with my wife, and she wakes me up to tell me that the Eagles drafted an injured linebacker. Now, she knows enough football to, like, keep around. Like she's good enough to, like, watch football with and all that, but she doesn't know everything.
Say to keep around.
Keep around, yeah.
So you know.
Wonderful way to talk about a spouse. Keep them around. Go ahead, Tom.
But I'm saying, you know what was said to me?
What?
From what I know of you, she probably knows more than you do about football.
Wow, dude.
Oh, Kyle said that to you?
Kyle said that.
Oh, my goodness.
Dude, is that a shot?
You'll live.
That was it. Was a shot. Yeah, it was a total shot.
That's a shot below the belt. And here I am. I'm going to issue a challenge right now. All right, because I know more football than what Kyle thinks I know.
I'll cook you. Whatever this is.
I will pay the fee for any fantasy league that you want to go in. I will pay the fee. And it's me against you. Whoever has the highest points at the end of the year, if you win, I'll pay you. If you win, I mean, if I win, then you give a public apology for me for saying that.
Points for what? Why does everyone want public apologies for me?
Because that carries weight around these
points. No, there's not much we could do for people. We talk.
They're
right?
All like, so hollow for me.
Yeah, he doesn't mean
it. He don't mean them because he said, what'd you say to Ken?
You don't want that. They're very sarcastic.
Yeah.
We
have a show here where one person refuses to apologize, one person gives you fake apologies. I'm the only one that apologizes for real.
How did I get drawn into it?
No, because we know you refuse to apologize.
I apologize when I'm wrong. I'm very seldom wrong, though.
Many would dispute that. Many.
Dude, I mean, that was just wrong. That just ruined my whole call when the pre-call. Like,
you'll be fine.
You'll be okay.
I mean,
your feelings are hurt. You'll be
all right,
okay.
Tom. We know you know ball. What do you think
Rub
of this?
Some dirt on
what
it.
Do you think of the pick?
I love the pick, and I didn't understand it until I started watching tapes of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh! He was under my radar. I'm sorry. Like I'm, you know, maybe I don't know enough about football. Mm. Okay, but yeah, he was under my radar, but he wasn't on your radar either. So.
So he wasn't on our radar compared to other guys. You're right, Tom. I mean, two reasons. One,
we were stuck on edge rusher.
We
were tackle.
Yeah, I don't think we were looking at him the right way. Also, I didn't think he was going to be there because almost every mock I saw, he was top 20. So I kind of assumed he'd be gone, and they probably wouldn't draft him anyway. And both were wrong.
Well, this guy's got the talent from the films that I'm watching. Yeah. He could do a lot of things, plethora of things. I mean, like we could use him everywhere. If he's healthy, and just let him get a chance to heal a little bit. He's fine. He's a young kid. They'll be fine.
And they don't have to rush it. I mean, they're a good team. I mean, this is one of the things about Howie and what he did in the offseason. And Tom, we preached the phone call. Hugh, they don't have to feel like they have to rush him at all. Like, if he's not ready until September, October, they can get by. I mean, maybe they won't be as good as they'll be, like the Cooper DeJean situation last year, but they can get by. They've got bodies. They got Ojulari. They got Uche. They got obviously, they brought in Jalix Hunt last year in the draft, Nolan Smith. They have some edge rushers here if that's where they were going to use them more. And they also have Jeremiah Trotter Jr. to play some linebacker if N'Kobe's not ready. It's not like they're going to – it's not super pressing, but it's just how quickly can he get on the field?
Yeah, but I will say this. I will be kind of bummed if I don't get the scene at the beginning of the season or like if we talking about late September or something like that, I'm going to be a little bummed out.
If he's on the pup?
Yeah, I'm going to be a little bummed out. Because I am excited to see how he fits in this defense, you know, and to have to wait a half a season to see that. I'm going to be excited when he gets out there. I'm going to be a little bummed.
Well, then you wonder about how much they put on his plate if he's behind, right? Like how much did Vic ask him to do? Is he just do one thing? Is he did do multiple things to start off? That's going to be the story of him in training camp here. But I like the pick. And tonight, I think defensive tackle, tight end, safety. You know I would take Jalen Milroe if he's there at 64. I've made that clear for days. If he's there, I would take him to put behind Jalen Hurts. I'm surprised today that Hugh has said multiple times he would take a defensive player tonight.
Well,
I'm shocked.
I have to put my personal feelings aside,
what
man.
What personal feelings?
Well, you know, you know how I feel about the tight end. I think he's the best tight end on the board.
Yeah.
Mason
Taylor. Do you really?
Yeah, I think he's the best tight end on the board. That's it. Nothing to do with anything.
Nothing more.
Why do you lie to everyone?
I'm not lying. I'm not lying. And I'm like, I need my defense. I'm trying to go to Cali for the Super Bowl.
So now you're a defensive guy after all these years.
I need to both, especially Joe, especially if we're talking about, we might have a guy that we might not see at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. And we need some more bodies.
Defensive bodies.
We need some defensive bodies.
How about this? Hugh Douglas going back to being a defensive guy for one day only.
I'm just saying. I got, listen.
What do you think the spin is, Kyle, on Monday if they draft only defensive players all weekend?
I don't even want to know.
No, but I'm just saying, as much as, you know, the potential of drafting Mason Taylor would be beneficial. I mean, man, listen, we got bigger fish to fry. We're trying to go, like Ike said last night, we're trying to go back to back.
That got you just, here he goes again. Just,
you couldn't even say that with a straight face.
No, Kyle.
How old are you?
It's the way he said it, though.
He said back to back.
He said we're trying to go back to back.
He's right. We are trying to go back to back.
What? It's just the way he kept saying it.
Everyone can handle that phrase except you. Everyone.
We've lost him. We try to go back to back.
He's right.
What is? I'm not following that one. To be honest with you,
I'll tell you the break.
This guy's too
guilty.
215-592-9494. We'll get to as many of your phone calls as we can on the other side. The Jihad Campbell pick. Like it, love it. Where'd you come down? What do you want tonight? And I did put Hugh on the spot. He's going to have to give us Taiwan Walker's final line in the Phillies game today when we get to leading off, which we'll do in the 1 o'clock hour. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.